Today's going to be a great day. If you missed last Sunday, we had a big announcement where we introduced Paul and Kelsey Tompkins as our Dream Team pastors. And so we figured first weekend we should go ahead and just throw them out there. And so somebody's like, amen. It's like, you're in trouble, man. And so anyway, before service, I was looking everywhere for Paul, couldn't find him. And I think nerves was getting to him. He was hiding. And just now he looked at me. He's like, I'm out. I can't do this. And so not really. But anyway, and just to let you know, baby, if he couldn't do it, you were up. You're up. And so Kelsey said that she wanted to say a few things, but Paul said, no, I need to preach. And so anyway, why don't you guys welcome Pastor Paul, also known as PP, to the stage. He's going to share the word with us this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Wade. Appreciate it. Yes, I would trip over that on my first Sunday and not be good, but thank you, Pastor Wade, Pastor Cynthia, for allowing me just to come up here and share God's word with the church. We're all I'm going to say it from over here. I don't know what Pastor Wade just did there. I think he set me up for something, but thank you for allowing us to come here, Kelsey and I, just be a part of the leadership of Emerge, but we have such amazing pastors here, the leadership team, the dream team. Let's just put our hands together for them because they do so much for the church. Some of them were here at 6:30 this morning. Pastor Wade's back here sweating and playing drums. Pastor Cynthia's in the back with our kids. Like, that's who I want to follow. That's who I want to be like. They inspire me. So I just thank them so much. Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to jump in right away today and just refresh us from what we talked about last week, what Pastor Wade shared with us. And we started a new series called I Am. And it was when Jesus was asking his disciples, he said, who do you say I am? He didn't want to hear what everybody else was saying, that he was a prophet, that he was this, he was that. And Peter steps up and says, you are the Messiah, you are the one. You're the God above all gods. You are I am. You are the one. And Jesus said, you're right. I am. And then Pastor Wade went on to share three different things that are important that Jesus gives us in our daily lives. And the first one that he shared with us was identity. And how it's very easy for us, especially in our culture today, to have be scared of who our identity is. There's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Hey, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look where I've been. Look at the car I drive. Look at my big house. And there's some good aspects to that, like look at my beautiful family. Look at this. Look at this. And I'm proud of it. But in our society, a lot of it's about us, about me, about look at me. And our identity becomes tied up in that. We can also lose our identity in our circumstances. Instead of allowing Christ to identify and be our identity, we allow our circumstances to do that. So we need to carry Christ as our identity, not our circumstances. And the second thing he shared with us was stability and how Jesus is our rock. Jesus is what we build upon. The church was built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives us the desires of our hearts. Jesus is the guy with the keys. I need to tell you today that God spoke these things around us in existence, but he breathed from himself into us the breath of life. That's how important you are to God. He knows everything about you. He knows the hairs on your head or the lack thereof for some of us, but Jesus knows everything about you. And if God created me to serve him, to live for him, then we have to build off that rock and be, he needs to be our stability. Number three was authority. He reminded us that Jesus is the one that gives us the authority. Not our jobs, not our money, not a title, not a position. But that Jesus in fact says, I'm calling you to do this. I'm giving you the authority to do this. I think we all hear somebody say, man, I can't believe this is going on. Why don't somebody do something about it? And God's looking down going, I created you specifically for that. That's why it's annoying you so much. That's why it's just bothering you so much. step out and do something about it. And Jesus gives that authority to where we can step out and do that. And one of the things that I love about Emerge Church, we always give you a next step. We always give you a, hey, let's just not take this in on a Sunday. We go home, taking that, I like it. But we forget about what we spoke about, what we learned. We're here to mature, we're here to grow, we're here to thrive in our relationship with Christ here on this earth. We're not here just to work a job, get by, life's okay. We need to thrive and grow and mature as Christians. But you have to take a step. And Pastor Wade's next step for us as a church was, if you haven't been water baptized, if you haven't said, I feel this way inside, the Holy Spirit is inside of me, God is inside of me, I need to let the world know where I stand in my relationship with Christ. And that's what baptism is. It's an outward expression of what's inside of us. And Pastor Wade challenged us, if you haven't been baptized, part of our service on Easter, I mean, it's in here. Like, you guys are right here. If you haven't been here, bring your family. Bring your coworkers. Don't just invite them, but maybe it's your next step is to be baptized. And I love being challenged. I love thinking about the next step. And okay, I learned this week. How do I apply it to my life every day? And that's what I love about Emerge Church. So if you haven't signed up yet, there's a connection card. If you came in, you didn't get one because you always get one, but you need one now, they're still back there. Go ahead and sign up. My name is so-and-so. I want to be baptized, because that's your first step, right? You're not just going to show up and be like, yeah, I want to get baptized. Like, take the step now, commit to it now, invite your family now, invite your friends now. And it's a huge celebration. It is a huge celebration. I mean, people are going to be standing up, videotaping different pictures, and hopefully we don't have all that stuff fall off in this big section again, but guys, it's just going to be an amazing time. But how powerful is it, like Pastor Cynthia said, when Jesus rose from the dead, it's the same day you're going to rise out of that water, a new person, a powerful person, walking in the authority Pastor Wade talked about last week. It's going to be a powerful day. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you so much. We love that we're part of a church that makes it all about you. God, I pray today as we speak, as things are spoken over our lives, that if there's something out there that needs to change in our life or an area where we need to grow and mature in you, I pray that you would show it to us. I pray that you would just be with your people. Holy Spirit, just fill this place. Put people at ease and comfort them through this message. It's all about you, Lord. We love you, and it's in your name. Amen. So I get to start off with a story about Kelsey and I, because some of you guys know me. Pastor Wade shared a little bit last week, but I have the microphone. She doesn't. So I get to tell the real story of how we met and how we got out here. And if I'm wrong, she's a part of like a couple of women groups, so it's probably some other stuff going on that she says that's why I'm here today. I'm speaking truth. I'm going to tell you the real story. So, babe, if you haven't been telling the truth, it's coming out now. So I used to be on staff with Celebration Church in Jacksonville. A lot of you guys know it. Sisterhood goes there. Some great events like Shine and stuff. And some of the men go there during Awakening. But I was working on staff there. And Kelsey had just moved from Ohio and was looking for a church to get planted in. And we have this area called Connect. And that's basically kind of like if you're a new member, you go out here and we have a booth right here on the right-hand side. And you can meet our staff and meet some of our people or volunteers. And I was working that area that day. And it's just me and another girl, and it's after service, and people come out, and I'm just standing there. My area is kind of slow, and she's on the other side, and Kelsey comes in and starts talking to this lady, and I'm just like, you know, doing one of these, you know, hey, girl, she needs to connect with me. We're part of the Connect team, but she's connected with the wrong staff member, and, you know, I just kind of just started working my way over to her, you know, and they're talking, and they were some probably talking theology or who knows what they were talking about. And I just, you know, my area is slow, so I had the authority to slide over the other section. So I'm just kind of working my way over. And then all of a sudden, like, they looked over by the kids area because something had happened in the kids area. They had balloons or something. And they both kind of looked over, and I just kind of did that final. Oh, that's so good what you guys are talking about. Yeah. Hey, I'm Paul. How are you? And I introduced myself to her, and I was probably trying to be slick, but she probably busted me, but I don't care. She started talking to me afterwards, so So we started talking, and I was leading an Ireland missions trip, and she started asking me all about the trip. Yeah, That's her code. And then she started stalking me on Facebook, so I had to kind of like restrict some things on Facebook now because of that. But I learned my lesson. But we just started talking, and we got together, and we started dating, and had an amazing dating relationship, probably a year and a half, and then we got married. And it's been the best thing that's ever happened to me, besides my relationship with God, obviously, but she's the source of everything that I am. She's an amazing woman. She loves God. It's awesome. There's nothing like waking up and your wife's out there doing Devo, or your wife's so excited to go to an e-group, and she's just passionate about it, and she's like, well, there's another one on Thursday, so I'm double dipping, and I'm going. I'm like, I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to finish cooking. Like, I got this. Go. But when your wife's on fire for God, it just puts something inside your heart that's way beyond just a relationship. So thank you, baby. I love you. If you don't know who she is, she's right over here. You can put your hand in the air. Yep, there you go. And then she became a staff member with Celebration as well, and we oversaw the entire college and college ministry and all that. And then God called us out here to just east of Tallahassee to help a ministry and business launch. And we moved out here, and after a year, it just didn't seem like this is what it was supposed to look like. And some things have started changing and not going the direction that we thought it should go. And after about a year, we're both like, we think it's time to move on. And we became to get very confused because God told us to come. Like, we left the church to go help out a ministry, and he told us to come, but it's not looking like it's supposed to. We just sold our house, moved, left families, the whole nine yards, left our jobs. And when you're both on staff at a church and you both leave and you both don't have a job, that's a whole nother story. So we began to just kind of revert back. Well, we could easily go back. We can easily go back and get our jobs. We can easily have a place to live. We'll buy a new house. No big deal. And God said, sit. Be still. And I'm like, okay. And then he told her the same thing. And meanwhile, I had just started coming to Emerge and been talking with Pastor Wade about these conflicts I'm having. I'm like, man, am I supposed to go back? Am I supposed to stay? Like, Pastor Wade, like, give me some wisdom. Give me some insight. And we'd meet every week or two and just kind of, he'd help walk me through some things of maybe blind spots I wasn't seeing. And during that 30 days of just sitting and not knowing what I'm going to do, not knowing where I'm going to go, like, we left, like, the job was over. The insurance was over. The business was shutting down. You're gone. Like, that's it. There was nothing. There was no fallback. And during that time, God said, you and your wife are supposed to stay planted at Emerge and help Pastor Wade and Pastor Cynthia specifically move this forward, whatever that looks like in their eyes. And we said, okay. And I met with Pastor Wade and Pastor Cynthia and my wife, and we went out to dinner, and we said, hey, we feel God is telling us to stay here to serve Emerge Church, and whatever that looks like in your capacity, where do you need us? And then we started diving in even more, serving even more. And that's where we're at today. We're here at Emerge. And we love this family. We love this atmosphere. We love each one of you. We're involved in a couple different groups. We meet with you guys during the week. And we love it here at Emerge. So thank you for being part of our family and inviting us in. And I just want to jump right into our message and continue the series that Pastor Wade started last week called I Am. So if you have pen and paper, I would really encourage you guys to write this stuff down. If you have a journal, a lot of you guys are on your phones. That's great. I know I get distracted on my phone. A text message comes in, an email pops up. The little Facebook icon's right next to my thing. It's you know, if I start boring you and you hit that, I'm going to see a blue screen. I'll know what you're doing. So I'll condemn you from stage. No, I'm just kidding. But the message today is I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Turn with me to John 10, 1 through 12. John 10, 1 through 12. And if you don't have your Bible with you, which I would encourage you to bring that, the verses will be up on the screen so you can just walk along right with us. It says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. And you might be saying, what is a sheepfold? Oh, my word. A sheepfold, the average shepherd in that time would have about 100 sheep that he would manage. That was about the moderate average shepherd. And obviously they would walk across all these mountains and different terrains and valleys, and they'd be out for weeks and weeks and weeks allowing these sheep to feed. Well, at night, what do you do? There's wolves, there's bears, there's all these different things that are trying to hurt your flock, and they're hungry and they're trying to eat, but your job as a shepherd is to protect them. So the sheepfold was rocks that were put around in a circle that the sheep could go in and be safe. So the rocks would be stacked up so high, and thorns and thistles and all this stuff would be placed on the top of it, so anything that came over it would deter that. And sometimes the shepherd would put these vines and these different thorns and stuff in the gateway, or sometimes the shepherd himself would sleep in that gateway. But he knew that anything that came over that sheepfold was after his sheep. It wasn't good, because if it's something else, they would come through the gate. So that's what a sheepfold is today. That's the lesson. That's all I have for. No, I'm just kidding. That's just the beginning. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his sheep by name. He named all his sheep by name. I lost my place. He calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. He said, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All those who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pasture. And I want us to really focus on these next three verses here. Verse 10. The thief's purpose was to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you notice, this is and. It doesn't say or the, or maybe it's one, or maybe it's the other. I'm here to tell you today that Satan's job on this earth is to steal your joy. His job, that's all he sets out to do every single minute of every single day, is to kill your joy. Destroy your family, destroy your marriage, destroy your job, make you unhappy with where you're at in life. But he says this, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So I don't know about you guys, but you got these three options over here, or you have a rich and satisfying life if you walk with Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep, obviously resembling the cross. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf come, and he will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. And I know so many of us can relate to that last little line, that if you're not walking with Christ constantly, you're not in your devos constantly, you're not part of the church, you're not part of a group, it's very easy to be attacked and to be scattered. Very easy. I want to read this story that I came across of a man's conversation with God. And I think we can all relate to it, and it ties into this message just perfectly. A man comes to God upset and says, God, can I ask you something? And God says, sure. He says, you promise not to get mad? You know, it's going to be a good conversation if you got to ask God if he's not going to get mad. And God replies, sure. The man says in a frustrated tone, why did you let so much stuff happen to me today? And God says, what do you mean? The gentleman says, well, I woke up late. God said, yes. And then my car took forever to start. And God says, okay. And then my GPS lost signal, and I was late for my first meeting of the day, which was very important. And God says, oh. And then the man starts to growl at God, and he says, and at lunch, they made my sandwich wrong, and I had to wait twice as long to get a sandwich. God says, And on the way home, my phone went dead right when I was picking up a call. And God says, okay. And then the man's voice began to get louder, and he said at the top of his lungs, and at the top it all off, God, when I got home, I just wanted to soak my feet in the foot massager and relax, but it didn't even work. Nothing went right for me today. Why did you do all that to me? And God pauses for a second. Then he says, well, let me see. I wanted you to sleep in this morning, and I didn't let your car start right away because there was a drunk driver. And if you would have stayed on the same path at the same time you do every single day, you would have been hit head on. The man replies, oh. He began to start to feel ashamed. And God said, the first person that made your sandwich this morning was very, very sick. And I knew you couldn't afford to not go to work because you needed the money. So I let them make you a sandwich with somebody who was healthy. Embarrassed, he replied, oh, I see. And God says, oh, the phone thing? It went dead because that person who was calling you on the phone was going to lie about you and say things that weren't truthful. And I didn't want you to have to deal with that on such a bad day. But he said, please be patient with me as I work with that other person on being honest. The man began to lower his head, and he softly said, I see. And God said, oh, and that foot massager thing, it had a short in the wire, and it was going to endanger your life. And not only that, it was going to put power out at your whole house for the entire night. The man began to weep and said, I'm so sorry, God, I just didn't know. And God said, don't be sorry, just learn to trust me in everything I do, in the good and in the bad. Just trust me. And the man says, I will trust you, God. And God says, and don't doubt my plans for your day. They're way better than what you got planned. And the man says, I won't, God. And God, please let me tell you that I'm so sorry. And thank you for all the ways you protected and watched out for me today. God says, you're welcome, child. It's just another day being your God. And I love looking after my children. Now, I know a lot of us can relate to that story. And a lot of us can get frustrated. And a lot of us can get upset. And a lot of us can blame things on God. But maybe the blame's not on God. Maybe we just need a new perspective. Maybe we need to get aligned with the way God sees things versus the way we as humans see things. And as sheep are very lost. If you know anything about sheep, Jesus talks about the 99 being here and one walks off on his own. We as sheep, it's very easy for us to get lost. It's very easy to fall off the path that God has for us. We begin to listen to other things. We begin to see other things. We desire other things. We start to not do our devotions in the mornings or at night. We start to not go to group anymore. We start to miss a week or two of service, and we begin to fall off the path that God has laid out specifically for us. And if you notice, sheep are also very defenseless. They don't have horns where they can protect themselves, or like a giraffe or a horse, use their legs to protect themselves. They're very, very defenseless. And that's why God tells us every single day to put on the full armor of God from head to toe so that you can withstand the attacks of the enemy. And we know sheep are also very stubborn. I'm sure a lot of us know somebody stuck. Just focus on me. Not somebody next to you. We all know somebody who's stubborn. And it's probably we're the ones that are the most stubborn if you're pointing at somebody else or thinking about somebody else. But sheep are very stubborn. And when you're very stubborn, guys, it's hard to learn to mature and grow and thrive and change and develop and move on to bigger and better things. God has so much in plan for every single one of your lives. It's very easy to get on that monotone where I'm starting to get comfortable, starting to feel good. I'm not outside my comfort zone. But God didn't create us just to be comfortable. He didn't create us to not go after things and achieve in things. Whether God created you to just be a businessman and thrive in that business and just grow it and it changes lives and saves lives. And everybody here was created for a purpose. But when we're stubborn, we can't grow. We can't mature in who Christ is. And sheep are also very filthy. Very filthy. They stink. They smell. But God says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Not one of us hasn't sinned. Like Kelsey, you're good. But that one time, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that brings us to why we need a good Savior. We need a good shepherd in our lives. We need someone to guide us, but if we're not communicating and have a relationship with that shepherd, we can miss his voice. We can miss what he's telling us to do. And it's so easy to fall off track. So I just want to go over four things that a good shepherd does. Things a good shepherd does for us. And the first one is he guides. He guides us. So if we go back and look at the same verses we just read, verses 3 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice, and they come to him. He calls them by name, and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, leading them, guiding them, showing them the right way. And they follow him because they know his voice. They have an intimate relationship with him. They won't follow a stranger, the voice of others. They will run from him because they know it's not his voice. And I'm here to tell you today that the good shepherd, he has an intimate relationship with you. He knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. And all he's doing is seeking a relationship with you. He wants to, for you to recognize his voice over the enemy's voice. He wants you to be so in tune with him that when something speaks, how many of you know that Satan can put some things out there that look awesome? Adam and Eve? Anybody want an apple? I'm just saying, Satan, his whole job is to manipulate us, to keep us away from God and our calling that God has on our lives. Satan can put out some great things, but if we can't discern the voice of God or the voice of the evil one, it's very easy to get pushed off track. So we need to follow the shepherd because he is going to guide us. And if you look at it, it says that he leads his sheep from the front. You'll never see God behind you. Go, go, come on, pushing you. He gave us free will. He lets us choose to come to church. He lets us choose to have a relationship with him. He will never push you or force you into anything. But know today that he is seeking you every day. When you're going, oh yeah, I just feel like this. Well, what do you think that feeling came from? A lot of people are like, I don't hear the voice of God. Well, why are you a nurse? Well, I just felt like that's something I always wanted to do. Where do you think that came from? God's given you those gifts and abilities. You hear from God, but the more you listen, the more you spend time with him, the louder you'll hear his voice. Those other voices will start to go away, silenced. They're still going to come, but you'll be able to discern the difference between the two. The second thing that a good shepherd does is he provides. He provides for his flock, his people. Psalms 23, 1 through 3 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me to rest in green pastures. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor in his name. And I know so many of us go to verse 1 and go, I have all that I need. Well, that's not really true. I need a nicer car, a bigger house. I need my wife to have less attitude. I need my kids to listen to me. Guys, those aren't needs. Those are desires, okay? Let's be very clear on what a need is. And it's very easy to say I don't have all that I need because you're going, I don't have all that I need. Instead of saying, okay, God, what are the needs that I have? What are the desires that you have for me? I think we look through an earthly lens of our circumstances and our situations, and we base it off of that instead of what does our Heavenly Father say that we need? What does our Heavenly Father say the desires of our heart are? And we need to align ourselves with that. And the more you follow him, we do it during, you know, we start our year off with 21 days of prayer and fasting. Why do you think that is? Because we put away some things. We put aside some things and we begin to draw closer to him. And then what happens? Well, I don't want to smoke. I don't want to talk to my wife that way. Yeah, that would have made me upset when my kids did that, but maybe it's a teachable moment. I could teach them instead of just yelling at them. So when we begin to follow Christ, our alignment starts to fall into place. A pastor I used to listen to, he said, when order is restored in your life, blessings can be released. And that is huge. That is huge. There's so many things that you could be missing because we're not aligned with the word of God. And in verse 2 here, it says that the sheep rest. And the sheep, If you know anything about sheep, they will not rest until they've had their full, until they are satisfied. They graze all day and all night, and then all of a sudden they come in and they're full and they're content. And then they go into the sheepfold and they spend the night in there and they rest and they're peaceful. And I'm here to tell you that God wants you to have a peaceful life. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of bad things going on, but he wants you to be able to lay your head down at night knowing that he's got it, that he's in charge, because that allows you to rest and sleep. That allows you to have that good night's sleep, knowing he's in control and you're not. I'll say that again. You're not in control. If you think you're in control, you're not. Our Heavenly Father is in control. He just wants you to rest in him. Rest in knowing that he is the one in control and that he's got what's best for his children. Number three is he corrects. He corrects. And a lot of us just want to skip over this part. I know I do. Being corrected is hard. I think it's probably harder for a man than a woman just because we're type A sometimes. I think women are type A sometimes too. But for men, it hurts our pride to be corrected. But God's correction isn't like any other correction. God's correction is to grow you and develop you and help you be more like him and help you be more holy like he is. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there is a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way." So underline peaceful harvest of right living and trained. When we are aligned with God, when we ask for forgiveness, when we turn away from our ways and we repent and we turn back to God, if you've ever done it, you have a peaceful thing about you. There's just something about you. You're just like, I needed to do that. I feel so much better. I feel like I'm going the right way now. It's not a checklist of Devo and this and did I say this and was I kind of. No, it's a relationship with God. But he gives you a peaceful harvest of right living. You're on the right path. You're doing the right things. But he says you're trained in this way. If you decide to get healthy, if you decide to get fit, you want a 6-pack, 8-pack, 1-pack, you're trying to get rid of the 1-pack to go to the 6-pack or 8-pack, or you just want to be healthy, what do? You go out, buy some clothes, you go out, buy some new sneakers, and you start to train. You start to go to the gym, you buy the membership. You take these steps to get to where you want to be. If you want to be an engineer one day, you don't just graduate from high school and the next day you're like, I'm an engineer. I'm going to start building stuff. No, it doesn't happen that way. There's training. There's college. There's these different tests you have to take, different things that you have to do. You have to be trained. And so many of us, it's very easy to think that, well, I got saved. Why isn't all this going away? Why isn't my walk with God like down this little gold road and everything's perfect? God doesn't work that way. There's a lot of things that we've done in the past that we have to correct first. And God uses the Holy Spirit to help correct these things in our lives. But you have to train. You don't just draw close to God accidentally. If I never read my Bible, never did an E group, never went to church, never did anything, how do I align with God? How do I know what God has for my life? So when you begin to train, when you say, okay, I'm going to be disciplined and I'm going to do my Devo before I get involved in my day. When you say, I'm going to be part of an e-group, I'm going to step out, I'm going to go to an e-group. Maybe I can't make all 16 of them. I can only make 5, but I'm taking a step. I'm going to start training myself, my mind, to get disciplined to help me grow. It doesn't happen overnight. And guys, it's okay. That's where grace comes in. That's where mercy comes in. People are like, well, you know, this, God's grace will cover you. You just go back to him and say, God, I messed up today. Can you help me again? And I think that's why God lets us sleep at night. I had a day 2 days ago. Ooh, if I had to have that day go on forever, no thank you. And I think that's why God lets us sleep at night, because it's new every morning. Every morning you wake up, you have the opportunity to say, God, you're first. I love that about one of our core values. It's all about Jesus. You have a choice. God's not going to force you. You have a choice every day to wake up and say, God, I screwed up yesterday, but guess what? That's the past. It's in the past. I don't even care about it, God. Because you know when you ask for forgiveness and God forgives you, he doesn't remember anymore. So you're talking about to God about stuff, and he's like, what are you talking about? I forgave you for that. It's in the past. I can't even remember it. But we're still focused on it. We're still tied to it. So get past our hurts in the past, the things that we've done in the past, and it's a new day every single day. I want to encourage you guys just to wake up in the morning excited about your day, excited about what God has planned for you instead of what's on my task list. What do I got to do at work? Why am I in this job? It doesn't make any sense. I hate this job. I'm not happy. Maybe the whole goal, the whole reason God puts you at that job is because one person needs to be saved. One person needs to be invited to church. And think about it this way, and this might blow your mind, but what if the whole reason you were created was for that one day and you're not ready? You haven't trained. And that opportunity slips you by. It's very important to be walking with God. It's very important to be trained up in this way. It's all about Jesus. Job 5, 17 and 18 says, but consider the joys of those corrected by God. That's a hard verse to swallow. The joy of those corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. Okay? When you sin. God's not up in heaven mad and angry at you and, oh, here he comes. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. Give me that lightning bolt quick. That's not God. God is a loving God. God wants the best for you. I mean, he wrote a book that's been around for thousands of years telling you how much he loves you. He loves you. He's not a God that's angry. He's not a God that upsets. Get ready for this verse. Verse 18. For though he wounds, he also bandages. He strikes, but his hand also heals. So while there's discipline, I don't know about you, I grew up in a home where it was more of, dad disciplined me, and then it was over for him. I was still struggling with it. I'm like, what happened? What did I do wrong? Like, no one ever sat down and said, hey, here's what you did wrong. Let's talk about it. Let's do it in a healthy way. But that's your heavenly Father. Hey, yeah, you screwed up yesterday, but guess what? You got some extra, I have some extra grace back here for you. Here you go. I love you so much. And guess what? You won't do it today. Have a little faith in yourself. And then we begin to not sin as much, not fall for the same lies of the enemy as much. We're listening to more of who God is. Number four is he protects. A good shepherd protects. When I first moved here, I was here about 6 months, and I live out in Monticello, which is 45 minutes from here or so, east of us. And my wife and I had bought a 5-acre parcel, and our house is kind of in the middle. We have a couple horses in the front and then 3 acres of woods behind us. And had some friends over on a Saturday night. We're hanging out, and right behind my house, about 30 feet, is where the wood line is. And we had just got there. We threw some wood together and cut a little tree down, threw it up, and let's have a little bonfire. And some people came over, and we're just talking about life. And it gets late, about 11, 12 o'clock. These people go home. Take the hose out, which normally I wouldn't even do the hose because I think I'm a wilderness man, but 3 acres behind their woods. I said, let me throw some spraying it down. I go to bed, wake up about 6 a.m. to go to work, and I kind of look outside, like hopefully it's not still on fire because like I slept for 6-7 hours, so it would already burned everything down, but I did it anyway. Like, oh, still out. Cool. No embers, no flames, no nothing. Get dressed, go to work, meet my wife at work. We work for till about 3 p.m, and we're coming home, and we live off like a 4-lane highway, and then it's off of there. And as we're driving home, the smoke is just billowing over the highway. And my wife goes to open her mouth to say, it's probably our house on fire, but I'd already hit the gas, and her head hit the back of the seat, and her mouth's like wide open, and she's trying to talk. I said, what was that? And she peeled her head off, and she said, I think that might be our house. And I said, oh, man. If you can't tell, we're already doing 95 in a 45. So, like, come around the corner, and sure enough, the whole back 3 acres is 40 foot in flames. 3 acres burning is a big deal. And I have neighbors on this side, neighbors on this side, horses over the front. My house is 30 feet from the flames. Volunteer fire department's there. I think I passed 3 of them at the local bar the night before. Like, volunteer fire, I love you. They did good on my house, thank God, because I think more God protected me. But, man, we need some paid firefighters. They're there. They're working. Forestry had already made it out there. The Division of Forestry is cutting trees down with a DC-5, just blading it, just putting a perimeter around the fire so it doesn't get to my neighbor's houses. And my heart's pounding, and I run out there like I can do something. And I had neighbors I'd never even met before, but they're all just lawn chairs, just chilling. Like, I'm like, there's a hose right there, and obviously a little hose isn't going to do anything for 3 acres, but I went to go get the hose, and I just stopped in my tracks, and I'm just looking. And we have 2 horses, a German Shepherd that's in the house in a cage that can't get out. And while I was freaking out inside, while I was scared to death inside, peace came over me, and he said, I got you. He said, at any time, where I live, it seems like the wind goes like this. Maybe it's Tallahassee too, I don't know. But like the wind just swirls when you're in the woods, when you're around trees and stuff. And God said, I kept that from ever going near your house. 30 feet away. I mean, flames are higher. I didn't have an ash on my house. I didn't have a scorch mark on my house. And the fire was put out. I got a ticket. I fought it, but I was wrong, so I paid it. I got a ticket. Apparently, you can't have a fire without a permit. Who knew? I thought I was in the country. But guys, God protects you. Now, am I saying nothing's going to ever happen to you? No. If you're speeding, you're probably going to get a speeding ticket. But that ain't God's fault. You got a problem with your foot. You got a problem with getting ready on time. I never had that talk at home. Never had that talk at home. Always on time. Always ready. God protects his people. We live in a sinful, broken world. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin came into this world. That's not God's fault. Man sinned. So when things happen to you, I got a flat tire today. Oh my God. You ran over a nail. Like, get over it. Change the tire. Don't blame God. Walk with God. Listen to what God's saying. Things are going to happen to you. I think it's even harder sometimes when you walk with God, because he's calling you to another level. He's calling you to maturity. He's calling you to lead. He's calling you higher, and that holds you more accountable. But that's okay. That's what we're called to do. Luke 15, 4 through 6 says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them get lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? Like, that's the God we serve. That's the Jesus we follow. He's coming for you. And when he found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, say, rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep. When you come home to Jesus for the first time or the 100th time or the 1,000th time, there's a party in heaven. Jesus rejoices. You don't understand, like, there's everybody up in heaven right now is like this at Emerge. Is anybody coming back to me? There's a lost sheep out there. Is he coming back today? Is he coming back tomorrow? When's he coming back to me? Because we're ready to have a party for that person. I believe today that there's lost sheep everywhere. There's a lost sheep in Tallahassee, in your personal atmosphere, your personal environment, in your workplace, in your family. There's a lost sheep, and God uses the 99 others as tools to bring that one back home. Know today that God has a purpose for why you're in that job, why you're in that relationship. He's going to use you to bring that person home. I want to challenge you guys today, if there's someone out there that's on your mind right now that you know is not a Christian, that you know it doesn't have a walk with God, has never been saved, to invite them to church. And you don't need to wait till Easter. Do it next week. Do it Easter. Do it the week after. Always invite someone. Our e-group's very intentional about every single one of us getting out there and inviting someone to meet Jesus. Hey guys, this week, is there somebody in your life that you can just say, hey, listen, do you know who Jesus is? Hey, I see you're going through this. Can I talk to you and create a relationship with them and then just introduce them to the one who can fix it all? He's the only one that can fix it. We can't fix it. I know I've tried to fix some things before, and it just, the woman just says, be quiet. I just wanted you to be a sounding board. Just, I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm trying, at least. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. I believe today that God is calling someone. I believe in this room there's a one. You've never encountered Jesus. Today you have the opportunity to be in the presence of the Almighty God, to lay your cares and worries upon Him and say, God, I can't do this anymore by myself. I don't know who you are, but I'm being told that my life will radically change if I meet you, if I can just touch you. And today you want to experience Jesus for the very first time. I just want you to slip your hand up. Let God look down. God's looking down on you right now saying, just put your hand up. You feel me calling you. You feel me prompting your heart. You're the one. I want you to come home. Just lift your hand up right now and say, God, I'm right here. I'm taking that step today. I don't want to do this by myself, God. I need someone I can follow, someone who guides me. You can put your hands down. Let's all just say this prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we know we need a good shepherd. God, there's things that we've done in the past. That aren't even worthy of you. God, today I ask you to come into my heart, to save me, to be my Father, and to guide me. Lord, I repent of my sins, and I welcome you into my life. If you just said that for the very first time, you've just met Christ. Christ is now dwelling inside of your heart. And maybe you're already a Christian, you're already saved, you already have a relationship with God, but you've fallen off the path. He was guiding and you got distracted and you feel filthy and lost and discouraged. But you know it's time. You know God is saying it's time for you to come back to the path, to allow me to guide you. And if that's you this morning, just raise your hand and say, I need a fresh start with God. God, my hand is in the air because I want you to touch my life. I want to start over. I want to hit the reset button for the day. And I want to know you more. I want to walk more with you. I want to be more intentional with my time with you, God. I want to hear from you more. Put your hands down. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that anyone who just raised their hand, and I believe that there's maybe a couple that didn't raise their hand that you were prompting, God, even those, all of us here, Lord God, we ask that you give us a fresh start from this very moment, that the Holy Spirit just begins to fill our lives, that we start to hear your voice more. But not just hear it, Lord, that we respond and start to take action on the things that you're telling us to do. Thank you for changing our lives, Lord, for being the good shepherd. Thank you for guiding us, for providing for our families, for us, for correcting us when we need it, God. And thank you for the way you correct us with love and grace and mercy. God, protect us, protect our families. Watch over us in your name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand.